Music provided by Armstrong. Visit armstrongofficial.com to hear more badass music.
Welcome to the TriCast Gaming Podcast.
Greetings and welcome everyone to episode number 109 of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. I am your host, Philip Grimlockini, and I'm joined tonight by Jason Neon Andrews. Jason, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good. It's a good night for a podcast.
It is a good night for a podcast. It was not quite, like, usually my Fridays still are like crazy. I end up working till really late and then trying to jam getting the podcast written, but today I did not have that happen to me. So yeah, that's pretty wonderful. I'm pretty excited. I just had this thought, though, as I was introducing the show. Do you think that our listeners, like, when they turn on the show, like, every week, do they go, like, do they have, like, a game of, like, who's hosting?
You know,
like,
like do they, this week?
Who's going to be there? Like, is he gonna just somebody? Is it going to be one person? Are we going to get a secret guest? Like,
here, I'm gonna do this live to you here. This is going to be... We should do a not necessarily throw a full rotation here, but it'd be fun. Not just Mike, me, you, and maybe Kyle one of these times. Bring on old Kyle again.
Yeah, I know. That'd be fun.
Getting a little rotation where he talks about something except Monster Hunter. You know?
I know, right? I think that would be really important. Also, and listen, Mike, this is totally not me, but totally definitely me calling you out. When I opened the notes after that week's episode, and I saw what Mike wrote, I thought, man, Kyle has no idea what normally goes into this show. There was like five words in the whole document outside of the intro. And I was like, man, Kyle has no idea. He has no idea what
when,
normally
when we get
goes
into
in.
This and why people get on our podcast, you know, when we have these, you know, outsiders get in our podcast, we're like, oh, this is the most professional podcast I've ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phil definitely goes all out on the notes. I've had to do it a handful of times, and I try real good, you know, hard, but you put in a ton of work on it. So.
Yeah, it's next level, man. You know, I don't think even I should probably put in the level of effort I do, but whatever. It is what it is.
You enjoy
it's fun.
It.
I enjoy it. That's right. I like being prepared. I like knowing what we're going to talk about. I like having a routine. Otherwise, it would just be like,
okay, even... So, again, the listeners can't see this, but what the hell's up with your TV in the background? It almost looks like...
Oh, yeah, it's...
What, like half the screen was like white. I'm like, did your TV break? Like, what the hell's going on?
No, I think it was one of those, you know, if you leave the Xbox just kind of in rest and eventually like the controller disconnects.
Yeah.
And it pulls up half the screen. But I think when it pulled it up, it like freaked out and was like glitching a little bit. And I never went back.
It's gone now. Like the moment you turned around, it like it went back to normal. But I was like half your screen doesn't work or something.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I saw it earlier before we started. It's just sitting resting over there. That's why it started freaking out. But yeah, I was playing and we'll get to it in a little bit. But I was playing a little bit of FIFA 22 earlier.
Yeah. You know what? I've tried to get back into FIFA, and I maybe don't care right now to go back into Ultimate Team. Like, I don't know. Like, a little bit of the pay to win stuff that we've talked about before, and I'm just like, I'm done. I don't know. I may be done with Ultimate Team for a while.
It's just so kind of gross, man. Like it got me earlier. I ended up spending like $13 to buy a pack.
Yeah.
So I was all like, oh, the special pack, you know, and I'm getting back in. Uh-huh. I should buy it. And yeah, I didn't get anything out of it. And I was like, God damn it. I did it again. And now I won't spend any more money on FIFA again for like 6 months until they get me again.
Well, speaking of, you know, pay to win, it's not a part of our show today, but I'll kind of just talk a little bit and go into a little news thing. But I saw multiple articles this week and tweets and things where Diablo was, or Blizzard was like really like coming out and like really trying to be like, Diablo 4 will not be pay to win. Like they were like, because they're really getting pressed hard over it because of all this stuff going on with Immortal right now. And they're like, it will not be anything remotely close. Like that is a mobile version.
Right.
So, I mean, that's really good to hear. I mean, I hope it's true. because EA has said stuff like that, and then we've seen what they've done with some games, right?
Right.
So I
read those articles. I didn't put it in the show, so we don't. It's not spoiling anything.
It's just a quick mention. Yeah.
Yeah, but they certainly were. Because QuakeCon is going on this weekend, so they certainly. I think that's why it was brought up. They were showing some Diablo 4 there probably this weekend. Yeah. And they were definitely adamant it's not going to be. But I'm with you because they're probably sitting there going like, we know this core audience over here at QuakeCon would crucify us here if we put a bunch of microtransactions in Diablo 4. But at the same time, their bean counters and higher ups are sitting there going, man, look at all the fucking money we are making on Diablo Immortal right now. So, I guess we'll see. I don't trust these companies anymore at all at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have high hopes. We'll see.
I have high hopes for the game. I'm excited for the game. I really
am excited for the game. I can't wait to play it with you, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be there day one probably on that one. I don't see why not. Sure, unless it tries to stack up against something totally crazy. Yeah. I'm going to be right there at the front. So I really hope that they don't screw up this one, but we'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I'm jumping the gun here, but I day one real hard on a game that just recently came out to me day one anyway. I wasn't going to, and then I did hard.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. We'll get into that here in a few minutes, but, so I guess we'll have to wait and find out about Diablo Immortal or Diablo 4, whichever one we're trying to talk about here. But
hopefully they're not the same. One and the same.
Yeah, hopefully. But Blizzard are trying to be adamant that they will not immortalize Diablo 4.
Yeah.
In a bad way.
So one last little shoot the breeze little thing. Maybe I say one last, but I'm going to put you on the spot because pre-show we were talking a little bit and you're like, oh man, we can't talk about this because I'll be lost. I haven't seen the show in like 2 weeks. I don't know what I'll say. But I was trying to ask you, where you were at with the boys. And if you'd caught up so we could finally talk about that on the show. And you'd said that you watched episode one of season 3 and you were kind of about it. And you didn't really enjoy it. So you've not been motivated to go back.
That's correct.
I'll just say, to me personally, season 3 was my favorite. It got way better as the season went on.
Interesting.
Here's what I'll say about, to me personally, what I'll say about The Boys is it's compelling because it's superhero, but there's not a whole lot of action that happens in The Boys, right? It's not like you're watching the Avengers and there's all these like fight scenes, right? It's mostly just like a real, like you see people and it's obvious they have powers, but there's like politics and story going on. It's not really like action scenes happening, like hardly ever. Right.
Right.
Yeah. This is, well, with the exception of like at the end of season 2, right? At the end of season 2, there is the action, like the little like fight scene that happens between Stormfront and Homelander and The Boys, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are stuff sprinkled around. I mean, Stormfront has a scene, but yeah, that season finale, is it the season finale, I guess, of 2?
Yes, it is the season finale.
Where there's that big fight, and that's such a dope way that they just kind of like obliterate Stormfront, and then she just starts babbling in German at the end because she's a Nazi.
Way more action in this season. Way more action.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of I always enjoyed like the appeal of the story and the character emotions that were going
on. I'm telling you, there's some damn good story. Like Homelander comes next level bad guy. Like he's such a good bad guy. Oh my gosh, he's such a good bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure like most of the Homelander memes I see on Twitter these days are from season 3 because I don't remember those scenes. I don't know. Like there was just something, it was missing that there was, because season 3 starts with the whole group kind of disbanded. They're kind of all doing their own separate things after the way season 2 ended.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they all get back together eventually, but yeah, I think that's, yeah, I think I mean, more than anything,
the boys, so
yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, that's what really kind of made me stumble with the start of season three. And then of course, you know, they reveal that, oh, it's actually this political character who's, you know, kind of conniving and manipulating her way into power on the politics side. She's the one that can actually like blow up people's heads.
Yeah,
they that goes that right that at
takes
the end
a major
of,
turn too, by the way.
Yeah, they revealed
you're,
that
you're not done getting surprises there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I was like, I don't know where this story thread is going, and I'm not sure that it's. I didn't feel compelled when episode one ended. I wasn't like, I need to immediately press play, and because that didn't happen, and then the next day it didn't happen, and the next day, and then something else came on, and I was, then you know, it just I didn't go back to it yet. Yeah, I gotta try, I guess. You know, gotta try. The episodes could be shorter. If they were a little bit shorter, maybe, and I didn't feel like it was such a...
Speaking of shorter, we don't talk about it very long, but I did watch the first episode of She-Hulk, and it was only like 36 minutes, but it was good. I watched it with my 7-year-old, and he enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought about checking that out last night, too, after I finished All or Nothing, the documentary, but I was pretty tired, so I ended up just going to bed, but I don't know, I'm... It looks interesting. The previews that I've seen for She-Hulk looks interesting. Like it's intrigued me a lot more than Ms. Marvel's previews ever did. And I never ended up watching Ms. Marvel actually either.
I liked Ms. Marvel. It was
so
good.
So I've been thinking about it, but I mean She-Hulk did just start this week, so
yeah.
Maybe I need to wait and so I can just binge it all at once, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom is my parents are coming to see me. Like in the second week of September and staying for a couple weeks. And, my mom loves to like watch all the shows, and she's not like watched Loki or any of that kind of stuff. She likes watching them with me, because I like explain stuff out for her, you know? And so, she's already been talking about like, when we get there, we're going to watch Loki together and we'll watch this together. And we'll, you know, so like I'll turn around and rewatch all those stuff. And she likes to like pause and go, okay, like what's happening? And she'll turn to me like, what's happening? Like, explain to me what's going on.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's, I want to watch Loki again. I would be much more interested in rewatching Loki than some of these other shows. Yeah. Man, my mother is like the total opposite. She just likes to just talk over stuff. She won't pause it. She'll just talk over it. And it's like, the other night we were down there visiting, and Sarah had never seen Top Gun, the original one.
Oh, sheesh.
And Dad and I had just got back from seeing Top Gun 2 in the movie theater again. Yeah. And I was like, oh, we got to watch Top Gun. So we're all sitting in there watching the original Top Gun. And like literally, I mean, I'm not even kidding you, man. It was literally like 30 seconds before it happens. Mom just blares out in the middle of the room. But keep in mind, Sarah has not ever seen the original Top Gun. Just blares out 30 seconds before, isn't this where Goose dies?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? How do you just blare out the biggest twist of the whole movie literally moments before it happens? When we just had this whole conversation about why we're watching it because Sarah's never seen it.
Yeah, that's a wow.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with you on that one. That's a foul right there on your mom. That's
gosh, come on, mom, you got to do better. You got to do better next time.
I don't know if I said this on the podcast last week or not, but my colleague, we drove up to Nashville last week and we're there for the week working, and so I picked her up and she drove with me on the way up there, and her fiance works for Lockheed Martin, and he hasn't seen the new Top Gun, and the reason he hasn't seen it is because she hasn't seen the original, and he's trying to get her to watch the original, and he's like, I want to like get her to watch the original and then the two of us will watch the, and I'm like, well, now the new one is streaming on Peacock, so
and Lockheed Martin were the ones that designed the experimental plane, or did the concept design for the experimental plane, Right. I didn't build anything there. It was just a conceptual design, but right. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, should we talk about some video games?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do this. Because you know what? Each and every week, we do get together to channel our virtues through the Triforce to provide you, the listener, all the hottest topics from the mythical world of video games. We also add in as much of our colorful thoughts and fill up monologues as you can handle in a week simply because we love video games and discussing them. If you like what you hear, please consider subscribing on your podcasting app of choice. And if you really enjoy it, please share on social media or directly with your friends. The show continues to grow thanks to all of your wonderful support. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at TriCastGamingP1 and on our website, TriCastGamingPodcast.com. DM us on any platform with your questions, and we'd be happy to share them on the show. All right, let's get into what we were playing. Jason, I know that you've got something cool to start with or to talk about this week because you've been binging a quote day one release for you. So I'm gonna let you start because I'm gonna run out and grab my water bottle as you start. But All right, I'll be back in like 2 seconds. Okay. But
so
regale our listeners.
Yeah. Well, look, I had said that I was gonna wait and not just blast through and play Spider-Man on day one because I wanted to finish off and play some other games that I was doing. But what ended up ultimately happening is, I don't know. I downloaded it and I can't even remember what happened. I think it was just like, it was Borderlands 3. And so what's going on with Borderlands is me and my buddy are playing this campaign together. Well, he wasn't on. And so I'm only playing when he's on. And so he's not on. And so it's like, all right, fine. I'll just play a little bit of Spider-Man. And then I got hooked. And then it's like, he gets on. And he's like, hey, you want to play Borderlands? And I'm like, nah, I'm good. And so yeah. I've been just blasting through Spider-Man. I've finished I've 100%ed the game. I've done everything, found all of the, removed everything from my map. Done all the challenges, made sure I got all the challenges that, because there's a few of these like Taskmaster challenges. And mm-hmm. I did those where, there's like a good, better, best, made sure I like 3-starred them or whatever,
Right. Yeah. Some of those get really tricky.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And so I'll say this, when you get to the DLC, the DLC has like a new version of those, mm-hmm. The like challenges. Do you remember Screwball? At all from the story?
One
of the side missions. There was this like girl who was like a social media girl, and it was just a small little
side.
She does a couple little missions and post up on social media and you get her arrested or whatever.
Right.
Well, she gets out and now does the whole thing, and it's now the things are her challenges, and she's set up these stations all around the city. And to go and do these challenges. And it's basically the same kind of thing as like what the Taskmaster did, but there's a twist to it. And the twist is there are these photobomb stations and you have to do specific things in these like highlighted areas in the middle of your standard challenge. And when you do, it brings up like a picture and there's like a bar that goes, think of like you're playing like a football game or whatever, and like on a kickoff, like the bar goes and you want to like try to press it in the sweet spot or something, or like in golf, like you're on a swing in a game, there's like a sweet spot, you want to stop it and you have to like stop it so that it takes the picture at the perfect time, and it's like you get all these extra, everything with her is like followers, and you get like bonus followers and stuff,
right?
And so it's pretty fun, but I'll say I've come across one challenge that I just straight abandoned today, and I'm like, it's the most difficult thing that I've come across in the game. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's so hard. And I'm like, I'll go back to this later. Like, I got frustrated with it. And I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I've done all of them. And I felt for the most part, like, you're right. There were a couple of them that were pretty hard or whatever, right? And you're like, but man, this one's rough. Like, I can't even, like, single star it. Like, hard, man. Like, I'm like, screw this challenge. I got so frustrated with it. But I'm about, I'd say I'm probably 30, 35 hours in on the game. And I'm probably 60% through the first DLC right now.
Gotcha.
And there's three total DLCs, so I'll move on to the next and the next. So,
yeah, I think that's one of the things that I really enjoyed about Spider-Man. I feel like it's one of those, like, for me, like, perfect length open world games. You know, yeah. It doesn't overstay its welcome. There's not anything that gets tiresome by the time you're moving on to do the next thing.
Yeah.
I really enjoy its, yeah, like you said, it's like a 30 to 40 hour platinum, if you want to call it that.
It's really fun. And so what I'll say is, so two other comments on the game. One, it's funny because I made this comment to you and you were like, I was the exact same way, because you had mentioned, like, I love all the suits in the game. And I do too. Like, I love the, like, design and concept of so many of these suits in the game, and that each suit comes with the power. But once you unlock a suit, then you can place that power on other suits. So you don't necessarily have to continue to use that suit, right? And I've tried multiple times swapping to other suits. But then, like, cutscenes happen, or, you know, like, something goes on, and I'm like, I don't feel like Spider-Man anymore. Like, it feels like some of them, they just feel weird. I've played basically 90% of the entire game in the, like, the suit that is made for the, like cover art.
The starter suit, yeah.
Like, story. No, it's not the starter suit. It's the first suit. Like, the first upgrade suit. The suit that's, like, on the cover art of the game,
right?
Like,
main, yeah, I got you.
The main story suit, and it's good, man. Like, I don't know, I like it. I think it's a good looking suit.
Yeah,
And I just feel like a purist almost, because I'm like, these others don't feel like Spider-Man.
Yeah, I always thought that they did a good job of designing the suit for the game.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy it. I'm curious. The character model for Peter Parker. Is it the one that kind of looks like an off-brand? Why am I drawing a blank on his name? The guy who plays him.
Character mark. What are you talking about? You know what, the suit? Or are you talking about the guy?
No. I'm talking about the guy, the character model for Peter Parker. What he looks like visually?
Oh, he 100% is a knockoff of. And now you've made me not think of his name.
And I actually like
the actual Spider-Man guy. My brain is just Tobey Maguire, and it's not Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really funny. I bet people listen to us and they're yelling the name, and they're like, "Well, how do you not remember such and such his name?" And it's like, you don't understand. Gosh. You start talking.
Recent Uncharted.
He was in Uncharted as well. And
I know you're Googling it.
Tom Holland. Wow.
He 100% is a Tom Holland little knockoff.
Yeah. So it was, that's not the original character model. So when I played the game at launch on Spider-Man PS4, he looked totally different. So I'm gonna try to screenshot something to you.
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can find a picture of what it looks like. Do you know what the new one looks like?
Yeah. So there's I'm gonna try to screen grab it for you and I'll put it in the chat. But yeah, so they completely changed
for the remaster, huh?
They completely changed the character model, put a new character model in.
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that's like, okay, yeah, that's totally a, you know, this is a knockoff, and that's a knockoff, and this is a knockoff. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that they did. Like, I enjoyed just stuff like where you're Peter Parker, right? So you're a photographer. And so there's like things that you're doing, that you're taking pictures of the city and stuff like that. I enjoyed just even things like where you're taking pictures of the Sanctorum, you know, whatever, the Doctor Strange house and the Avenger Tower and the like, and even there's certain like dialogue that's happening. Like, he's like, you know, I wonder why they have, Avenger Tower, because they're never here. In fact, I think they're in, oh yeah, they look completely different, which, by the way, the one I'm playing with looks a billion times better.
Like, yeah, so the one on the right is like the kind of Tom Holland looking one.
Yes.
And the one on the left is the original character model.
Yeah.
That was actually, he looks, the one on the left is like very similar looking. They kind of modeled him off the guy who voices the Peter Parker in the game. And they just replaced him with this character model that looks kind of like an off-brand Tom Holland.
He does. He looks like an off-brand Tom Holland. Absolutely. But he looks, I like the look better. but I don't even remember what I was talking about with
you were talking about going around the city and taking pictures, and then they have the dialogue about why the Avengers Tower. Hey,
I think they're in Europe right now, because when this game released, it wasn't like Avengers when they were in Europe fighting like Sokovia or whatever, wasn't it? Isn't that about the same
thing? I'd have to look up. Too far. I'd have to look up the. Let me look up the release date. I want to say it was a 2018 or something like that. 2018, okay. Yeah. Okay. So I don't. I mean, I don't stay close enough attention to the Marvel Cinematic Universe to know like if it was real life, where would the characters be for the movie?
Yeah.
I feel like that was right around Infinity War, though, right? I
mean, so the only other thing too that's odd to me is, so there's this Martin Lee character, that is in the show. He's a part of their new like Sinister Six, but I feel like he is made just for this game because I've never heard of him before.
Yeah, it's very probable. I don't know who this guy is. I'm looking him up
right now. I think he was made
Mr. Negative. Let's see. Mr. Original Negative, original appearance. Mr. Negative first appeared in a cameo in Free Comic Book Day Spider-Man, May 2007. His first full appearance came in Amazing Spider-Man number 546 in January 2008.
Okay, so he's not original to the game. He's not very big. Like you said, cameo, he's small. Like yep. I was kind of like, he's a cool character. I just had never heard of him before.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And he's a part of the Sinister Six, which he's clearly not a part of the normal Sinister Six in the show. So anyway, I really liked it. The only other comment I have, if we can move on from it, is that I likened the combat to all of the Arkham games and like movement, stuff like that. It's just a lot more of a fluid, because instead of ziplining and like gliding with your like cape thing, you know, you're just Spider-Maning around. The open world movement is really, really fluid with Spider-Man. I love it. Good. I love so doing good. The like where you like, I'm not swinging as much as I'm just like doing the like where you pull and then like speed bounce off of the like point that you grab to. I'm just doing that through the city like crazy.
Yeah, just glide. Yeah. 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 Once you kind of upgrade your ability to traverse. Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah.
I used to boing through the city like crazy.
Yeah. For like probably a month after I finished that game, I would just boot it up for a little bit every week
and just swing around.
Swing around the city. It was so good. So good. I mean,
did you get to the end of the game where you the last like suit ability where you add it and it like shows all these pictures that you can that show up on the map? There's like 50 additional pictures that you can go find. Did you do that?
I don't know. I mean, you have to remember that I played it at launch.
Yeah.
And 5 years platinumed ago. It at launch and never went back to it. So anything that they added as post content,
that's part of the standard game.
I mean, are you sure that they didn't add that as post content to the standard game?
That part I can't tell you. It's just not a part of a DLC.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I know they added suits later on to the main game, the outside of the DLC.
This isn't a part of a suit. It's one of the suit abilities. It's the last ability that you unlock, and all it does is when you put it on, it makes it so that as you're traversing through the game on your minimap, there'll be little like picture icons. Like camera, camera icons, and it's just showing that you can take a picture there. So it's the exact same thing as like how you have all of the spots littered across your map that you can click on that you know you need to go there and take a picture of like a monument or something.
Right.
It's exactly that, except they don't show up on your map. They only show up on the mini map as you're swinging through the city, and only if you have that ability on your suit. So you have to put it on your suit and then just free swing through the city until you like come across these, you just happen to, you know, catch them, and then you go and take the picture or whatever.
I mean, it's quite possible it was there and I didn't catch it or what. I mean, yeah. I did everything you needed to do to platinum the game
right
off the original trophy list.
Right.
And I'm not sure that that was an original trophy because it does not sound familiar.
Okay.
I do remember having to go to the like landmarks and take the picture though.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So anyway, I enjoy the game. I think it's great. I'm having fun with it. The only other game I've been playing, which I've been playing a ton of too, is Apex Legends. I've definitely been playing a lot of that with a group of friends.
I thought you were like over that one because you were like, I suck at it.
I don't know. It's one of those games like, you know, again, there's times where I feel like I suck. And then there's times if I play with my buddy, my colleague from work, and if I go into his lobbies, then yes, I'll feel like I suck again. But as long as I'm in my lobbies, I feel I'm fine. I'm fine. Gotcha. Like I'm not great, but I'm not horrible. Like, you know, we've had some wins and, you know, and I'll finish with a few kills and a few, like, it's okay. It's just fun with some friends. You know what I mean? But, that's all I got, man.
Well, that's really cool. I'm glad that you're enjoying Spider-Man. I mean, it was one of my favorite PS4 games. I think it was
I'll wait to give it a review once I've finished all the DLCs. So probably next week. I will say this, the first DLC that I'm into, the story is about Black Cat and it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. Like, so I it's good. I highly recommend the DLC to this point, at least the first one. It's good. I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So you were telling me that the ending of the story for the main game kind of shook you up.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm like, I'm sitting here and I cannot, I know you fight Dr. Octopus at the very end of the game.
Yeah.
And I guess it's probably like a realization between the two of them because they were so close. But I literally cannot remember the way the game ends. It's just like...
So, I mean, I'll just spoiler alert here and tell you...
Yeah, spoiler alert. If you haven't played this 5-year-old game yet and you're just now playing it on PC.
Well, I mean, yeah, right. You could be like me and just be playing it on PC. But like, so you fight Doc Ock and yeah, he's got the whole like, you were my friend and I trusted you and blah, 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 right? But you're basically fighting with him because he has the antidote for this like plague that he's released onto the city, and Aunt May has it.
Right. And okay.
You go back, you get the antidote and you go back. And basically the doctor kind of like gives you the decision, like you can use it on her who's dying right now, but it's our only one. And you know, thousands, if not millions or whatever people will die, but you'll save Aunt May or, you know, we can start putting this to use to have mass production, but it probably won't be ready in time to save, to use her. You know what I mean? And he has this like turmoil in himself.
That's right. And then
you're just like, holy crap.
Yeah. I remember that now. Yeah. No, that was really, oof. So the Miles Morales game, the one where you actually play as Miles.
Yeah, I was shocked to hear Miles, or to know Miles was in this one. I knew there was a Miles Morales game, and it is coming to PC too that I'll be playing.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that Miles was in this one, and they basically set up his story entirely in this one.
They really do.
So, like, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, and that one definitely, I remember it both times, because you have to play it twice. You have to play through the whole game twice for the platinum.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah, that's...
And both times...
It's so freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, I hate that. I can't stand it. But yeah, both times I did it, I cried at the end of it. It's so sad at the end.
Yeah.
So they got a way of twisting the knife, I guess, with the Marvel Spider-Man games. But all right. Well, I'm really glad you're playing that. And for those of you who only play on PC or don't play on PlayStation... Please, you if you're a Spider-Man fan, like like me and you're a Spider-Man fan, I think it's like a must play. I really do. So, all right. Well, I'll go into what I'm playing. Not too much new to say because I'm still playing Days Gone. That's been kind of the main thing I've been playing this week. I've been doing a little bit of Rocket League as well, probably more Rocket League than I should be doing. But usually I'm just playing Days Gone. And the game is long. I didn't think, because when I was reading about the trophy guide, it was saying that the game is really long. It was like, this game is like 70, 80 hours long. And I don't know if that's really true, because looking at how long to beat, none of the average is quite that long.
Yeah.
But, and then when I was looking at the map, and I'm like, oh, there's really not that many icons on the map to kind of take care of and do, but there are so many story missions. Like, yeah. I'd been playing a whole bunch, and I was like, man, I feel like I've probably made really good progress. And I went and looked at a list of story missions, and I'm like, fuck, man. I'm like, maybe halfway, maybe? Yeah. I'm like, why is this game so long? But, and so, like, it's kind of got this weird thing where because there's so little on the map, but so many stories, missions, that I find myself just, like, I've done everything in the areas, and so I find myself just fast traveling. And then I'm like, well, this kind of sucks because the best part of this game is, like, experiencing moving through the world. And so, I don't know, I'm struggling this conflict of, like, do I use the fast travel system and just intentionally make it take longer? Or do I not use it and intentionally just make this take longer, but just because it's better to drive around the world? But there are some locations that I haven't fully explored because they've got hordes in them, and the hordes are real assholes still.
Yeah.
Like, real assholes. They've killed me a few times when I was, like, halfway through clearing, a Nero spot or something like that. And I'm like, this is sucks.
Yep. There's a few of them. They place them close to those. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the sawmill one is, like, the sawmill one is, like,
so nasty, dude.
Yeah, and it's right next to a Nero site. Yeah. And, you know, you can go around the Nero sites and you can, like, cut all of the speakers down so that they don't blare when you first turn on the power.
Yeah, you definitely have to go on those.
Yeah, and I was being so careful. I thought I found them all. I was like, okay, I can set the power on. I set the power on. There was one speaker on a light pole in a tree.
Yep.
And I was like, what is this horseshit? And then, of course, the exact one.
Yep.
Yep. I was like, this is, but yeah, no, I mean, I will say that as the story has gone on, it has gotten better.
Yeah.
Just because I think there are certain characters that are really good. I really like Iron Mike as a character. I think he's interesting and what he's trying to do. I really like Ricky as a character. She's the one that gives you missions out of Iron Mike's camp.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I think she's an interesting character and in how she's challenging Deacon, your character.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still continue to find Deacon as a character to be a little bit frustrating. And I mean, it's his personality, and he's at least consistent with his personality and his actions, but his actions are not what I would want to do if I was him in these situations. So I find that a little bit frustrating. But I mean, that's the nature of, you're playing a game written as a story about this character, and you're playing as that character, but you're still in a narrative experience. So I don't know. I find the game, and I find some of the, like, when you go to do the missions where you listen to the Nero scientist talk about the virus or whatever it is that's causing people to turn this way. I find that a little bit interesting. I always am intrigued to see how people build up these stories.
I like the end of the story. I like the end of the story more than the beginning of the story myself as well. I remember at the end of the game being like, well, now I can't wait for part two.
Yeah.
And all this stuff has happened that we're not going to have a two. And I'm exactly. What the hell?
Definitely the story is at least when you have a lot of missions, at least the story is, like, pulling me along and I'm interested in what's happening.
Yeah.
That's me. I've just been playing Days Gone. And I've been doing some Rocket League, like I said, but, that's about it. Nothing too interesting to report. I said early on in the show that I was kind of playing a little bit of FIFA again. Just kind of dabbling in that right now. If you are someone that likes Ultimate Team, now is the time really to be in the game, because they're just flooding the market with special cards and high level cards, because they're only a month away from FIFA 23.
Yep.
And so everything's, like, super cheap. I say super cheap, but, like, I sold off my entire squad and whatever stuff I had already had in my account since the last time I played. And I ended up with, like, 530,000 coins, something like that, a little over 500,000 coin. And I bought a team that's rated 90 plus. So every card I bought was, like, a 90 plus rated card. And I bought an entire 11-man team for less than 500K. So, I mean, that's still like a lot of coin. So if you just were like trying to start the game today, obviously that's going to be too much coin for you. But if you'd been playing and kind of saving up for a while and kind of had some coin stashed away, you can get like a pretty badass team for like 500K would get you maybe one of these players, you know, 5 months ago, right? And now it can get you 11 of them. So that's what I mean by it's, you know, the prices have come down. They're relatively cheap. Yeah. You know, good cards are, you know, 60 to 70K each as opposed to 300K each. So, yeah. So just been doing that a little bit today as well. Before we go into the news, though, since we were talking about Days Gone and the story, did you see that apparently they're making a movie of Days Gone?
No.
This came out today. This news came out today. Oh, okay. Sony is apparently going to fund a movie for Days Gone, but not a sequel.
Yeah, that's weird, man.
And they won't even cast the guy who voiced Deacon St. John as Deacon in the movie. So the guy who voiced Deacon St. John is the guy who does Darth Maul. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I did not know that.
Yeah, Sam Witwer.
Ray Park. Oh, no, that voices Darth Maul. That didn't play Darth Maul in like...
Yeah.
Because Ray Park is the original Darth Maul, right?
Yeah, so Sam Witwer, he voices... Maybe he voices him in the movie or in the. Let me make sure Clone I get Wars, this right.
Or whatever. Rebel.
So in the Clone Wars, he voices Darth Maul. I was like, oh crap. Let me make sure I get this right. Not in the movie, but in the Star Wars show. He's the one who voices. The Star Wars Clone Wars show. He's the one that voices Darth Maul. And then he's also the one that voices Deacon St. John. But he kind of looks like Deacon, and he's a good actor. So it's kind of dumb that they wouldn't cast him in the movie, but apparently not. But
I think the dream casting, would be, motorcycle, zombies. The dream casting would be the Death Stranding guy, the guy from
I know who you're talking about. Again, us and not being able to pick up names.
I know.
Oh man, what is his name? That guy
would be so perfect for it. He'd be so perfect for it.
Yeah, Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus. Yeah, they. I mean, and I say that. It may be one of those deals where they're like, "It's too close. We can't." You know, people would get them confused, and you know. But I think he'd be badass at the role. So
yeah,
personally,
you know what's crazy? Norman Reedus is 53 years old.
I'm not that shocked by that. A lot of these actors are really freaking old, man. Like The Rock is in his 50s.
Yeah, that's wild to me.
You know, and he's like the big action star.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Cruise just gotta stay healthy, you know. 50s. Yeah,
you know. Like that's always the way. Arnold and you know. They were always like older, always.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes some sense.
I mean, Henry Cavill's not like young, right? Ben Affleck is definitely older, but like, how old is Henry Cavill? And he's like the like big, you know, star right now in a lot of these action movies.
Yeah, I mean, we're really dovetailing here. This is prime content, but Henry Cavill is 39 years old.
He's 39. So he's basically. Literally a month younger than me. Older than me. Sorry, a month older than me.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's stop. Let's get off the derailed tracks here. Switch back lanes onto talking video games and get into the news. Not much news this week. We don't even have a topic of the show. But I do want to remind people that Sacred Symbols is live for free now. If you're not a patron, you can go check that out. We talked about it towards the end of last week's show. I want to say it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes into the episode is when they get onto the whole Xbox response. They do have show markers or whatever. If you look in the description, so you can see, you can skip to where you want to listen to it. But they do talk about it for 25, 30 minutes, and you can hear it from.
Our show and their show, because we have. Yeah. It was just good to hear another take.
Yeah, but I will say that it was not as Sony positive as I expected it to be. It was kind of neutral. Maybe there is something to what Xbox is saying there. But yeah, go give it a listen and try to compare those. And of course, write in if you have different opinions on what's going on. You know, we're just giving you our reaction take to it, and we're happy to hear what you guys think, and would be happy to read anything out on the show.
That's not true. Please write in so we can make fun of you publicly on the show.
That is not what we will do. You're going to scare them away. I will edit it out if Jason tries to do that. I will protect you all.
Oh, man.
All right, let's jump into the news. Number one, Multiverses was July's best-selling video game in the U.S. market based on dollar sales, the NPD Group reported on Friday. This is thanks to the popularity of its Founders Pack bundles, which cost between $40 and $100, the market research firm said. Elden Ring slipped to number two on July's software chart, while LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga also dropped one place to number three. The only other new entries in the top 20 were Xenoblade Chronicles 3 at number four. Might have been higher if we were able to include digital sales, but Nintendo never reports digital sales, only physical. And then the second new game was Digimon Survive at number eight. On the hardware front, PS5 generated the highest dollar sales of all consoles in both July and for the year to date, while Switch led both time periods based on unit sales. NPD analyst Matt Piscatella said total consumer spending on game hardware, content, and accessories in July dropped 9% compared to the same period last year to $4.18 billion. And then year-to-date spending totaled $30.5 billion, representing a 10% decline compared to the same period in 2021, with subscription content remaining the only major spending category to experience growth. I'll say my initial take on this is fair play to Multiverses. It's a free-to-play game, but they've got these Founders Pack bundles out there, and that's the top-selling thing for July, albeit with not much competition, obviously, in terms of new releases. Right. So very good for them. Elden Ring staying strong, very good for them as well. But yeah, that'd be my first initial take is wow, good job, Multiverses.
Yeah. I mean, I've not paid anything for it, right? And I'm playing it. But it's literally all it is you're basically paying to unlock all the characters rather than, slowly working through them. So, have at it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say that, if it would be really aggravating if there was, one character you really wanted to play as and then you couldn't right from the start.
Well, I mean, right from the start you couldn't, but like I said, literally in a couple hours you can have enough in-game gold to just buy that one player.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's not bad that it'll give you a character every couple hours. That's pretty decent. Yeah, that's not, I wouldn't say that's forcing you, although...
Oh, it's definitely not forcing you.
If a character was, quote, meta, and you needed that character. Again, though, you don't have to grind.
There's definitely characters that are considered the because there's pro leagues in this. There's definitely characters that they are that are the hottest right now, or the most powerful. And they're just constantly working to they're nerfing or buffing and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's good to balance these fighting games.
Yep.
And the other kind of take that I'll say is that 10% decline from last year is not as bad as it was looking a month ago or 2 months ago when we were talking about percentage decline. Yeah. I mean, it is expected. There's not any new games coming out. So, of course, people are not buying stuff. There's not new stuff to buy.
So the one thing that I have as a comment on that is at some point Nintendo has got to swap away from this. We're not going to report any digital sales thing. Because more and more and more people are buying less digital and more hard, less hardware and more digital, right?
Less physical, more digital.
Yeah, whatever. that. Okay. And at some point it's just going to look like their sales are dropping and they can't continue to show that, oh, like we're selling less games. At some point they're going to have to, and I say some point, I would assume it's coming fast. Like, you know, like if you're only, think of it this way. Imagine if PlayStation only reported what their physical copies were. Of course, they would show a decline over last year.
Well, yeah.
And every year moving forward, because more and more and more, they're coming out. Digital is just way outpacing. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me that Nintendo does that.
Yeah, well, so we know from the financial call from Sony from about a month ago that it's it's what, like about 75% of sales now.
That's what I'm saying. And I promise you, Nintendo's the same. Nintendo's got to be the same.
I don't think that they are. I think there's a couple reasons for this. One, obviously, the cartridges are smaller. You don't have to carry like a book of discs around with you. You can keep them in smaller little plastic cases inside your thing. Two, I think you got parents buying for kids a lot, and so it's a lot easier to just go to the Walmart or whatever and pick up something from Walmart and give it to your kid than to try to log into their thing and like approve your credit card.
I would literally rather do it the digital.
And the third reason, I think, is because Nintendo are so notoriously bad for game sharing within a single household. So let's say you have a kid and you want, there are two kids and you want to be able to buy a game for them to share. You have to have a physical. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe those are all
one Switch. So
yeah, I mean, maybe those are all dumb reasons. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but I would suspect that if Nintendo were looking at their sales and they were seeing something less than 50 to 60% was what they were actually reporting, I think they would start including digital. So I think it's got to still be a majority of their software sales are physical rather than digital. Otherwise, they'd already be reporting.
Maybe I am on the minority on that, but I don't buy shit that's physical anymore. Nothing on anything. Period. Ever. Those days are gone, bro. Like, I will not. Like, I'm done with that. Done.
I like having physical collections, but even I have drifted to less and less and less and less physical on PS5 and Xbox. But I still do not buy a single digital Switch game unless it's like a little indie game. Because the moment I buy it and I start playing it, my kids are like, oh, I want to play that. If I bought it digital, I'd be screwed. I couldn't share it with them. So I still just buy all physical Switch games.
So I don't have to deal with that.
We have three in this house.
Yeah. Nope. One.
Three. Both my kids have one, and then I have one. So,
yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I mean, for now, they still just don't report digital. So maybe their game sales are better than what they're reporting. Who knows?
Yeah. All right.
Number two. This one was a big one. Embracer Group has announced another round of acquisitions, including the rights to The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. In a series of press releases made this week, the Swedish company announced that it agreed to acquire a number of companies, including Middle Earth Enterprises. The deal will give Embracer Group, quote, a vast intellectual property catalog and worldwide rights to motion pictures, video games, board games, merchandising, theme parks, and stage productions relating to the iconic fantasy literary works, The Lord of the Rings trilogy and The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien, end quote. The company also announced plans to acquire a number of video game companies, including Limited Run Games, Singtrix, Tuxedo Labs, and Tripwire Interactive. According to Embracer Group, the acquisitions of Middle Earth Enterprises and these other studios will have a combined upfront cost of $576 million, with further payments linked to financial and operational targets, bringing the total potential cost to $787 million. So, yeah, if you've not been paying attention, Embracer Group is this, like, European conglomerate that's just been sucking up all these smaller studios like a vacuum. They own, like, an insane number of studios. And now they've also bought the Lord of the Rings rights. So that's interesting, especially when you consider, like, all this talk of Amazon's Lord of the Rings show and all the money they put into that. But no, it's Embracer that's going to have the rights to the property now.
Yeah.
And I would say that it probably cost them less than what I thought it would. Clearly, like when you compare the sale of like Star Wars a few years ago for like whatever it was, $3.5 billion or whatever, you know.
Well, isn't it something like $1 billion for Amazon to just have the rights for the show on,
Amazon?
It's like $1 billion, I think.
I don't understand why it cost them so little money.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking, to buy the Lord of the Rings property.
Yeah.
Do you get it? I guess I don't.
That's what I was going to say is I would imagine, you know, as this show goes, it's going to ramp up more interest and they'll release more games that will get more, you know, stuff going on because it's going to be, you know, a little bit of what's going on is like, okay, obviously we have, you know, Gollum game that's been released. But at some point, like we've had a lot of Lord of the Rings games out, but they're all based off of the same, you know, the same original movie, right? The original content. Whereas now the Amazon series is going to be all new because it's going to be like a prequel, right? So there's going to be now all new story, new characters, new stuff that they can make games on. So it's going to ramp back up some new interest and give them some new content to make some new things. So I would assume they're going to be able to, you know, capitalize off this similar to like how MCU, you know, or Disney did with Marvel, right? Bought them up and, you know, bought Disney up, has done new characters, done new things, you know, like that's kind of what I expect to happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I would agree with you there. I mean, probably not like going to pour like Disney level money into this.
No.
And make a bajillion movies and shows. Man. But yeah, I mean, they're big, but I mean, not Disney level big, right?
Well, I mean, who is?
Very true. For those that may, you know, not be aware, Embracer Group is comprised of what they call now, what is now 11 verticals after this, this latest round of purchases. So those are Amplifier, Asmodee, Coffee Stain, Dark Horse Media, Deca, Easy Brain, Free Mode, PlayOn, Saber Interactive, Gearbox Entertainment, and THQ Nordic. So, like, for example, you're playing Borderlands. Borderlands is a Gearbox game.
Right.
That falls under the Embracer Group umbrella. All of the Gearbox stuff falls under them. THQ Nordic, that is comprised of, by itself, a whole bunch of studios. Black Forest Games, Bugbear Entertainment, Gunfire Games, bunch of Purple Land Studios. There's a bunch of studios there. Saber Interactive as well, like Aspyr Media, you know, Slipgate, Ironworks, Snapshot Games, Tripwire Interactive. There's a whole bunch of studios under there. Free Mode is the latest of these verticals that have been built up. That's where Limited Run Games and Middle Earth Enterprises is going to fall under. Some of these other ones. PlayOn is another bunch of studios. You got Deep Silver in there, Flying Wild Hog, Ravenscourt, Warhorse Studios. You know, if you're a tabletop gamer like I do on the side, Asmodee is like the place for tabletop games. So like Fantasy Flight Games is owned by Asmodee now. They do all of the X-Wing tabletop miniatures. There's a whole bunch of other miniature building studios underneath the Asmodee brand. So they're not just video games. They're like a lot of things now.
Yeah.
And they have bought a lot of things now.
Yeah.
I don't know how they keep going, but they keep going. So there you go. Embracer Group growing more, not stopping ever. It seems like they're like the Energizer vacuum. Never stops. All right, moving on. Number three, speaking of Embracer, they have confirmed that the upcoming Star Wars, confirmed that the upcoming Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake has in fact switched developers. This comes after Bloomberg claimed last month that developer Aspyr Media had stopped working on the game and that the future of the title was up in the air. While not mentioning the title by name on Thursday, Embracer confirmed that one of its big upcoming releases had changed developers. Quote, one of the group's AAA projects has transitioned to another studio within the group. This was done to ensure the quality bar is where we need it to be for the title. We are not expecting any material delays, for the title based on this transition, end quote. So if true, maybe there's still hope for Knights of the Old Republic remake after all.
Yeah. I mean, again, we had made the comment that, you know, Square Enix had to make that change with the remake of Final Fantasy VII, and it worked out. So this could still work out and be fine. They just made the realization that the smaller studio couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I really hope so, because I was excited for this, and I know a lot of, like, my little brother was really excited for this. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, maybe, you know, if things are back on track and stuff, we'll see this game pop back up sooner rather than later and get confirmation that Saber is working on it and that things are going well again. All right, number four. I thought this was an interesting little story, a little bit of history, video game history. So I thought I'd share it on the show. Just Cause developer Avalanche Studios was apparently working on an Iron Man open world game for 2 years before it was canceled back in 2012. Company co-founder Christopher Sundberg has revealed. Sundberg, who left Avalanche in 2019 to form a new studio called Liquid Swords, discussed the aborted project during an interview with podcast MinMax. He said the open world title was canceled around 2012 following a couple years of development due to, quote, company politics. Disney and Marvel reportedly wanted Avalanche to staff up rapidly in order to complete the game more quickly than originally planned, but Sundberg said agreeing to do so would have, quote, broken the studio completely. He went on to say, quote, I was a mess by the end. It was like shortening development time, increasing budget. We would have had to hire 70 or 80 people to the team that I would have had the responsibility to find a new project for. But the development time was shortened down so much, so it was impossible to do. It would have broken the studio completely if we had agreed to that, end quote. He kind of goes on to elaborate, like, imagine all these people, we hire them all in to finish this project, and then suddenly we have to find new work for them. But they wanted the game done so much faster that they didn't have enough time to find new work for all these people. So, you know, inevitably, a bunch of people would have been laid off once this game had been finished. So it's just very interesting little story that we got out of this. An Iron Man game could have happened. I guess an Iron Man game did eventually happen, and it was really bad. It was done by BioWare. It was called Anthem, and it failed. So maybe it's good we missed Iron Man. And then, of course, Iron Man was in the Avengers game from
Crystal Dynamics. Yeah, but it wasn't world.
No, it wasn't. And, of course, it wasn't. You didn't just play as Iron Man.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is an interesting story. I wonder how much this goes on in the background that we never know about.
I will say that I'm a bit surprised we've not gotten an Iron Man open world game, right? Like, I feel like, you know, on a Spider-Man type level, like an Iron Man who, like, flies around the city, you know, has his, like, quirky personality with all the, like, side stories and all the stuff going on. I bet it could be really interesting. I'm a bit surprised we haven't had one, you know?
Yeah, there was the Iron Man VR game recently, a couple of years ago. But I mean, we've never had like Superman game. Right. Any of the games where the character can just free fly around the environment. I don't think we've ever had anything like that in an open world game. I wonder if they struggled to develop that.
Well, so I've seen, actually there is a, it's really popular on YouTube. You can go see it. Like there's a guy who created with the whole Unreal Engine 5. Has already created like a Superman where there's a full city and you can just fly around a Superman and like, you know, there's no missions or anything, but it's like a full city and you can fly around with Superman and like slam into the ground and take off. And so it's just like basically you're flying with Superman in a huge city. So it would be basically exactly like what you talked about doing with Spider-Man, where at the end of the game, you just went in and like swung around. It's just the only thing this guy has completed is a city and flying around a Superman. So, I mean, it can be done because there's this guy who just did it. Like, hey, I just created this with Unreal Engine 5. I think it's cool, you know?
Yeah.
It's just
interesting, I guess, that we've never seen a game, a completed AAA experience.
Right.
Where your main mode of transport is just being able to jump up and fly wherever you want.
Yeah.
Again, except for Anthem. Anthem had that. It was kind of like an Iron Man game. But I don't think that's why the game failed. The game failed for completely different reasons, but that's the only place I've really seen it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just find that intriguing. I mean, you'd think that there would be an audience for something like that, but yet we haven't really done it at the AAA space. All right, moving on. Number five, Call of Duty Warzone and Vanguard are now facing fresh allegations of skin plagiarism. This comes after it was noted by Twitter user ModinusHD that a newly added skin looks very similar to one from the upcoming FPS Dead Drop. Dead Drop is, of course, a PvP multiplayer title currently in development at new studio Midnight Society, founded by streamer guy Dr. Disrespect Bean.
We're about to talk about that, but go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
This incident comes just weeks after it was accused of plagiarizing a different Call of Duty skin. This is Call of Duty itself being accused of plagiarizing a different skin inside of its game. A skin titled, quote, Loyal Simoled, I think is how you say that, was planned for the game and made the player look like a fluffy dog, but it bore a strong resemblance to a piece of 2019 art by concept artist Sale Lin, who noted the similarities online. Activision then removed the skin and apologized, saying, quote, we love the Loyal Samoyed, but regrettably we erred in our process and have removed this imagery from the game. We apologize for the misstep, end quote.
That sounds like a mission.
As for the latest allegations, neither Activision nor Midnight Society has made an official statement on the alleged Dead Drop skin. Yeah, how does this happen?
Well, so Dr. Disrespect, the guy Pierce, not Guy Pierce, sorry, that's completely different.
Guy Beam.
He designed maps for Call of Duty in the past. So he has actually worked for them and done things for them. So that's a whole nother wrinkle and level into this.
Yeah, how does this happen? How does something the size of Call of Duty with all of the people that work there, did they have this happen not once but twice?
Lazy.
But it has to have been a ripoff. I mean, have you seen the concept arts that have been compared? Yeah, let me find you a screen because it's wild. I mean, I don't think you can say that it's not at least, you know, yeah, at least a an inspiration to the other one. I gotta find the original article here so that I can, here you go, I can share this. I'll post the link in here in the chat of Zencastr for you.
In Zencastr, got it.
Yep. All right, and you can open that up there. And
there's I mean, holy hell.
Right?
Wow. Yeah, there's no way they're not the same.
It's just crazy, man. Crazy. I mean, it's totally a rip. I don't know what else to say, you know?
Yeah.
And have you seen the original one? The first one that they did?
Nope.
Yeah, let me find that one too. That one's actually Loyal even somewhat. Worse. It's even more egregious.
I don't know how.
Which is crazy.
Like, this is clear that they copied it. Like, my goodness.
Yeah, so I will share this article. You'll have to do a little bit more scrolling down in it to actually find the comparison picture. But there you have it also in...
Yep, got it.
The Zencastr chat. You got to scroll down there a little bit and click on the Twitter link in there. But yeah, pretty wild.
I would say this is a clear rip too.
Yeah, and you can see that it's actually like even more egregious. Like the character looks the same. Yep,
this is just straight up a copy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. I don't know what's going on over there.
Straight up a copy. There's no question.
Somebody needs to get a hold of their art department and figure out. Like I
said, it's literally lazy. It's someone at the art department is literally just going and grabbing stuff and then using it. They're playing video games all day long and actually playing Call of Duty or whatever and not actually doing their job. At the end of the week, then they're submitting, poof, like, hey, look, this is what I designed. No, you didn't.
Yeah, no, you didn't. No, you did not.
So, yeah, I'd love to see backstory. It's like it's the same person doing it or something, you know? Like,
yeah. Is it the same person? That would be wild. They would probably lose their job at that point, probably rightly so. All right, final story of this week, number 6. Unity's board of directors have now unanimously rejected the proposal from software company AppLovin for a merger worth $17.5 billion. As we reported, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, there is this new offer from AppLovin to merge with Unity, and Unity were apparently evaluating. Well, now they've flat out rejected it. Quote, the board continues to believe that the ironSource transaction is compelling and will deliver an opportunity to generate long-term value through its creation of a unique end-to-end platform that allows creators to develop, publish, run, monetize, and grow live games and real-time 3D content seamlessly, end quote, Unity CEO John Ristitalio has said. So yes, the ironSource, it was the first company that proposed merging with Unity, and they are apparently going back to that bid and rejecting the AppLovin merger offer. It would be really nice to have competing tens of billion dollar merger offers, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for sure. and what they don't specifically say on here is, and what's not listed, and at some point will probably be finalized. Did they turn and then go back to ironSource and go like, hey, you know, do you want to sweeten the pot kind of thing? We'd rather work with you, but they're doing, you know, they're offering X. And, you know, I mean, did they maybe not beat the $17 billion, but, you know, upped their offer and are like, hey, you know, it's, you know, X, you know, $100 million less or something, you know, it's $1 billion less, whatever, you know. And, but we think y'all will be way easier to work for or with, or we, you know, we believe and what you're doing more, et cetera. You know what I mean? Like, it's possible.
It's very possible, for sure. I'm just glad we're not going with AppLovin anymore, because every time I read that, I can think of is McDonald's.
Yep. Oh, really? All I can think about is McLovin.
Yeah, yeah.
No, well, I'm talking McLovin from the movie, like the...
Well, sure, okay, yeah. But then McLovin then
or whatever
jumps me to McDonald's in my head for some reason. Because I get that I'm loving it thing going, it's just a snowball of horrible lengths of word vomit. So I'm fine with ironSource. Keep there.
They're not going to get bought by the McRib.
the McRib. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, let's jump into some game announcements, and we've got some interesting ones. Number one, the PC version of Kena Bridge of Spirits will be released on Steam September 27th. Developer and publisher Ember Lab has confirmed. The Steam version will include an upcoming anniversary update, which will introduce New Game Plus, an enhanced photo mode, fresh outfits, and more. Kena Bridge of Spirits came out around this time last year for PlayStation 5, and it was really good. I played through it. It was a really fun, sort of modern-looking, old-school Zelda-style game. Wasn't too long, and I think it was only like $30 on PS5, so definitely worth checking out, and definitely go look at the visuals, because it is an absolute gorgeous looking game, worth taking a look at. All right, number two, 505 Games, and this is the big one. Yep. 505 Games has announced that Death Stranding will join Xbox Game Pass for PC on August 23rd. That's next week. Yes, you heard that right. Death Stranding, the PlayStation exclusive, we'll be joining Xbox Game Pass for PC. How did this happen? In four days. Yeah. So how did this happen? Well, while this is a PlayStation console exclusive, as Sony owns the IP for Death Stranding and the publishing rights on console, 505 Games actually own the publishing rights for PC and thus have struck a deal with Microsoft to add it to the Game Pass for PC service. That is wild. You're going to get a game that is a trademark Sony IP on Game Pass.
It'd be like me now, instead of having to go and buy Spider-Man 5 years later, I'm just getting it for free as part of my Xbox prescription. Yeah. I liken to this to, I was saying that this is a lot like MLB The Show.
Correct.
How that now happened and is on Game Pass.
Yeah, so MLB The Show, the publishing rights for the game are actually owned by MLB itself.
Right.
And so MLB is the one that went and brokered a deal with Microsoft, or I guess Microsoft
went to MLB. At least, though, not like after the fact, like Death Stranding is now.
For sure. Yep. Of course, this is Xbox Game Pass for PC only.
Yeah.
As I said, PlayStation owned the publishing rights on console. This will never be on console for Xbox. But if you're a PC gamer and you have Xbox Game Pass for PC, you can go check this out next week. All right. Number three, over 10 classic id Software and Bethesda games were added this week to PC Game Pass or to the Microsoft Store as part of the opening QuakeCon celebration. Joining PC Game Pass are Return to Castle Wolfenstein, Quake 4, Wolfenstein 3D, The Elder Scrolls Legend Battlespire, and The Elder Scrolls Adventures Redguard. A new Game Pass perk will also enable players to unlock all champions in Quake Champions. The following titles are also now available for free on the Microsoft Store: The Elder Scrolls Arena, The Elder Scrolls Daggerfall, and Quake Champions. So there you go. If any of those are calling out to you, you can go check them out now. They are already available. Finally, number four, Activision is apparently going to grant early campaign access to those who pre-order the digital version of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. According to the publisher, campaign early access will go live for digital pre-orders on October 20th, more than a week ahead of the game's general release on October 28th. So if you digital pre-order, you can get in there, get the game, the campaign finished before going to jump into multiplayer on October 28th. If you're on a piece, if you're on PlayStation, wow, I can't speak. If you're on PlayStation, digital pre-orders also get you more of the beta test, as we announced last week on the show.
It's probably, you know, that's probably not a bad little model. Because essentially what that does is that makes it so these guys, you know, because Call of Duty makes way more money from their multiplayer with all the skins and all of the battle passes and all of the stuff, right? The seasons and stuff like that. And so they probably get, all right, let's knock that out where in a week you're going to have finished the campaign. And then day one, you're all in on going to the multiplayer and buying skins and dumping more money in and, you know, and like just get to it kind of thing. So,
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of interesting because to me, this is like this to me is Activision saying, hey, we want more people to play our campaign. Cause I mean, obviously you'd be surprised how many Call of Duty players never touch the campaign. If you look at the trophy data, and you see like the percent completion of the campaign, it's like minuscule compared to the player.
It blows my mind how many people don't complete games in total. So,
yeah. So yeah, this to me reads like Activision saying like, hey, I know you're excited for our game. You can play it a week early, but you can only play the campaign a week early. So get in there, play the campaign. Mm-hmm. And then on the release date, you can get in there to multiplayer. So this to me reads like Activision trying to get more eyes on that campaign. So that's really interesting for sure. It kind of appealing to me actually too, because I was really I'm really digging the new Modern Warfare 2 this year. I'm really interested in it. Haven't really bought a Call of Duty for about 5 years, I think now. Like at launch, I've bought them like later on and played the campaign when they were like half price.
Yeah,
but I haven't been day one on a Call of Duty in probably 5 or 6 years. So, all right, upcoming releases next week is Saints Row coming to all consoles and PC. That'll be August 23rd, and then on August 30th, Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed. Jason, are you at all interested in Saints Row?
No,
not at all.
Nope, not at all.
I'm tempted.
I've never been into any of the Saints Rows. Never.
I think the only reason I'm probably tempted is because
they feel like cheap Grand Theft Auto. Like, yeah, just I'm like, no thanks. I'll just play Grand Theft Auto.
I think it's just because there's no new games coming out. I'm like, this is the one that semi looks okay.
Nothing else. Yeah.
I don't know.
Just go play Spider-Man DLC after you finish Days Gone.
I got plenty. Go Ghost of Tsushima.
Still, I love it so much. You got to go play the DLC. It's good.
Yeah, I never did because I would have had to like reinstall the game and then figure out how to play the game again. But I don't want to actually play the whole campaign again. I just want to jump in the DLC.
You can do that.
But I need to like learn how to play the game again, probably before just jumping in. Yeah, I'm making excuses. Is what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
All right, the next Epic Games free Epic Game Store game has been revealed. Ring of Pain will be free to claim from Epic's PC Marketplace from August 25th to September 1st. Publisher Humble Bundle bills it as a, quote, roguelike card crawler where encounters come to you. Each step around the ring brings a dire decision. Go for the loot or backstab a creeping horror. Meet strange friends bearing gifts and treasure. Choose your gear wisely to survive and discover the secrets of the Ring of Pain, end quote.
So this is I'm going to chase a squirrel real hard here for a second. But since we're talking Epic and free games, so Epic this last week released a game that's called Rumbleverse. And it's basically exactly like it looks like a skinned over Fortnite. Like literally it's the same graphics as Fortnite. It's got the exact same like menu as Fortnite. It looks so much like Fortnite, except you're just like wrestlers and you like dive in and like instead of guns, you just have combo moves and fight. And me and my wife tried it and we instantly both uninstalled it because it was taking upwards of, 5 to 10 minutes to get into matches. And I saw all sorts of reports this week about like other people complaining about it and that they were saying they were having server problems and that they supposedly let out a patch and it fixed it. And then there was all sorts of stuff on social media like, nope, you didn't fix it. And that game made me DOA because they couldn't get their shit together in time for launch. And I'll never install it again. Like I'm done. Like it had its shot and that's you couldn't crazy. Get into matches. And so here's what it came across as. It came across as no one is playing this game, and so it's taking them 700 years to put together a match. And it makes me wonder if they're like, oh, yeah, it was server problems. Like, I'm just curious. Like, is it – like, that was the problem I had with Rollerball, too, when Mike was talking about Rollerball. It took forever to get into matches. I'm like, no one's playing this game. Nobody.
Anyway, interesting. So the developer behind this is Iron Galaxy. They're the ones that did Killer Instinct Season 2 and Season 3 on Xbox One back in 2016. And then since then, basically nothing. They did a game called Extinction, which I'd never even heard of. Inspired by Attack on Titan.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So, yeah, I don't know. Iron Galaxy, you guys are in trouble, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the one. Oh, this is why I've heard of them. Okay. This is the one that Adam Boyes is the CEO of. Interesting. And was founded by Dave Lang. That's really interesting. So Adam Boyes used to be like one of the big wigs at PlayStation. He was he was an exec at PlayStation for a while. Former vice president of publisher and developer relations at Sony Interactive Entertainment. Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, they're not going to do well with this. That sucks, man. Published by Epic. And, of course, Epic are the ones that own Fortnite as well.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, Fortnite basically made Epic.
Yep. So, interesting. Well, that was a fun squirrel to chase.
Yeah.
All right. Amazon free games are still out there. If you want those, probably the pick of that is StarCraft Remastered. August Games with Gold are out there. Scourgebringer is the one that's now available from August 16th through September 15th. And then Monaco, What's Yours is Mine, is also available now as of August 16th. And then, of course, you can still go grab the Sony, the PlayStation Plus games, Yakuza Like a Dragon, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, and Little Nightmares. There is a little bit of interesting Game Pass news. Immortals Phoenix Rising was added. That was one of the Ubisoft new IPs from a few years ago. That's available now. Midnight Fight Express, Commandos 3, Coffee Talk, Opus, Tinykin, Exapunks, and Immortality also all available now on Game Pass. All right, that's it. That's kind of the show. Pretty light week this week, but it is what it is. Next week will be Gamescom, so hopefully we'll get some interesting bits out of that. Maybe some new trailers, some new announcements about some upcoming games. But until then, that's all we've got for this week. Any parting thoughts before we go, Jason?
Nope.
Nothing? You got nothing for the listeners?
Yeehaw. I don't know. But how about that? This yeehaw.
Play Spider-Man.
And watch The Boys. And the last little thing I'll say is I know you finally finished the All or Nothing. It was nothing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very painful. It was very painful to watch that season finale again. Arsenal fans out there, they know.
For a show, All or Nothing. Well, yeah, it was nothing.
Yeah, we were. If you are a soccer fan, those series are really good. They did one about Manchester City. They did one about Tottenham. They've done one about Arsenal.
The All or Nothing show is really good. It's essentially the like HBO Hard Knocks, right? It's basically
a version
of that, and it's they do one for football, they do one for soccer / football, they do one for F1. They've done like multiple different sports of that, so it's good.
Yeah, so if you're into any of those, you should definitely give them a watch for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for everyone listening to this 109th episode of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember, like, subscribe, review on your podcasting app of choice. If you have any questions for the show, DM us on Twitter or Facebook. The show will be back again next week with episode 110. 110 episodes. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and game hard.